If you all will stand, I will read Revelation 21 through 3, and I will substitute the pronouns with the noun. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in the angel's hand. And the angel laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound the devil 1,000 years, and cast the devil into the bottomless pit, and shut the devil up, and set a seal upon the devil, that the devil should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, the devil must be loosed for a little season. You may be seated. The question is, when did this happen? Or when will this happen? The book of Revelation, chapter 20, is one of the most controversial apocalyptic passages of the whole Bible in Christian theology. It is one of the most controversial. If you don't believe me, it is full of controversy. The one controversy is Daniel's 70th week separated from the other 69 weeks by over 2,000 years? Or has the 70 weeks been finished 2,000 years ago? And I've got some charts. Here's the 70th week of Daniel. Over here is the degree of the Persian, 444. And they got 476 years of 365 days, or 483 years of 330 days. 7 years, 49 weeks, 62 weeks, 434 years. So 7 plus 62 is 69. And then we come up to the Messiah shall be cut off, the death of Jesus Christ. And then there's no 70th week. And it still hadn't happened. The 70th week's over here. 1 week. The Antichrist, well, here's the church age. The Jews were bad, so we make a parenthesis. We got the church age. The Gentiles then. And then the Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jews because the church is raptured out right here. The church is up in heaven right here. And that leaves the Jews. The Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jews. The covenant's broken in the middle of the week. Persecution breaks out. A lot of Jews are killed. And then there's the second advent of the Messiah. He comes back with his resurrected church, with the Jews. And then you get eternity. Or is it 70 weeks, 490 years, all in succession? Command to restore Jerusalem. The 69th week ends. Jesus is baptized. His death in the middle of the week. And then the death of Samuel and the Stephen and the gospel to the Gentiles, or should be the house of Israel. Now that's a huge difference in Christendom. The majority believe what? The first or the second? The first. There's some that believe the second. When did or does the devil deceive the nations? Well, it was after the 1,000 years was terminated. But is that in the past or in the future? It depends mainly on what four schools of thought you think the book of Revelation falls under. You either think, number one, it's idealist, number two, preterist, number three, historicist, or number four, futurist. The fourth view, the futurist, is by far the most popular of the four different views now in Christendom. If you believe the fourth view, then all the events from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, to its completion, are in the future. Believers with this view say that none of these events in the last 19 chapters have happened yet. So the dispensationalists are of the opinion But an angel of God will do this to Satan at the end of the next age, the tribulation period. At this time, the dispensationalists say the angel of God will lay hold on the devil, bind him with a literal chain, cast him into the abyss, shut him up in prison, set a seal upon him for 1,000 years, then loose him for a little season after the 1,000 years, just up. And while Satan is in prison for 1,000 years, both Jews of the Old Testament and of the tribulation period, and the Gentile, which means the non-Jews, and a few Messianic Jew church members of the New Testament, will rule with Jesus Christ. The church members will be married to Jesus during the 7-year tribulation period, and the Jews will be remarried to God the Father during this millennial period. Now, I've got a timeline of the end, which I used before. Right here at the, we're now in the church age. Right here is where we are now. Waiting for what event? The church to be raptured. We're waiting for the rapture. And they'll be raptured out. Well, when the church is raptured out, the Holy Spirit goes with the people, right? He's up there in heaven. And that leaves only the Jews left, because the Jews, of course, are the people of God of the Old Testament. I'm talking dispensationalists. They rejected Jesus, so they got put in the parenthesis. It turned to the church. So the church is up here, and there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the church is married to Jesus Christ. Well, the Jews are still down here, and the Antichrist comes on the scene. There in the middle of the week, there's the abomination of desolation. That's when they say the Antichrist sacrificed the pig on the altar of the temple. He puts that as persecution, the great tribulation of the Jews. Many Jews are made martyrs. That's 7 years. At the end of 7 years, Jesus comes to the earth with all his church members, with the Jews, and they will rule in the 1,000 years, or the millennium kingdom. Return of Jesus Christ. After the millennium, Satan's thrown in the pit here for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years is over, Satan's let out. He gets the forces, they attack, he's destroyed forever and ever, and the rest live in eternity. That's dispensationalism. That's what the majority of Christians believe. This is one of the charts depicting Francisco Ribera's, that's the Jesuit Jew, strange concocted futuristic timeline. Francisco and the rest of dispensationalists say the church, and the church is now what? Multicultural. Didn't used to be, but now it is raptured at the beginning of the tribulation period, and that they are married with Christ in heaven during the 7 years of punishment that are cast upon the Jews. The tribulation period is when the Antichrist appears, the Antichrist, and makes a covenant with the real Antichrist, the Jews. The top Antichrist breaks the covenant that he had made with the Jews in the middle of the week when he sacrifices a pig on the altar of God's temple. Then the Antichrist pours out his wrath upon the Jews, and many of them are converted. At the end of this period, Jesus the Son returns with his church, who have already been resurrected, and they join with the converted Jews for the millennium. At this time, the dispensationalists say, is when Satan is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, to be let loose at the end of this period for one last rebellion. He loses the battle once again, and the final judgment occurs, with eternity becoming the last and final age. Randy, if you turn back to that black thing that we had, yeah. So the dispensationalists say here is where Satan is cast into the pit for 1,000 years. That's the millennium. At the end of the millennium, he's let loose. He goes and deceives the nation for the final battle and then eternity. Okay. Here's what a typical dispensational church believes. It is copied from the website of Anchor Bible Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And I give you the website that you can look at. First is the church age. It says, quote, "We are living in the church age, a time where God is offering the kingdom primarily to the Gentiles." The church age began at Pentecost, which you just celebrated, and will end at the rapture of the church. I quote, "This is dispensationalism." The pastor, Jack Hughes, says that we are living in the sixth dispensation, the church age or grace. He mistakenly says the kingdom was primarily offered to the Gentiles or non-Jews instead of the house of Israel. He also says the church age will end with the rapture of the church. Now we go back to their statement of faith, the rapture. We believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which is the catching away and instantaneous glorification of believers, both living and dead. We believe the rapture will occur unexpectedly, imminently, and immediately preceding the seven-year tribulation, also called Daniel's 70th week. The rapture of the church will occur at the end of the church age. All the saints, both dead and alive, now the church has been going for 2,000 years, so there's more dead than alive, will be instantly glorified and caught up to meet the Lord in the air and be with Jesus forever. Christ coming to both resurrect and glorify the dead and the living who are in him can happen at any moment, unquote. I had a few comments. The first obvious comment, will there be anyone who will be raptured who's not a member of a so-called Christian church? Which churches who identify as Christian are really Christian? For example, is a Jehovah's Witness church included in the rapture? How about the Church of Latter-day Saints? What about the Methodist Church? What about the Lutheran Church? What about the Roman Catholic Church? What about the Universal Unitarian Church? They're contradictory churches. Notice that the pastor indicates that the tribulation period is Daniel's 7th week, that was separated from the 69th week by hundreds of years. Notice that he writes that there will be a resurrection of the dead church members at this time. Remember this. This will be important later. Now we go back to their statement of faith, the tribulation. We believe the seven-year period of tribulation will occur immediately before Jesus Christ returns to earth in glory. During the tribulation, God will primarily focus his redemptive work on the ethnic nation of Israel, bringing many Jews to faith in their previously rejected Messiah. The tribulation period will close when Christ bodily returns to earth, separating the sheep from the goats, binding Satan, and setting up his literal earthly kingdom, unquote. The church believes that the tribulation period in the future will focus on the Jews. But the pastor called the Jews the ethnic nation of Israel. This is not true. For the word ethnic is defined as relating to large groups of people classed according to common racial, national, tribal, religious, linguistic, or cultural origin or background. The Jews do not have a common racial background as they are all a mixed race. Be they Ashkenazi, Sephardic, Hasidic, Mesera, Ethiopian, or others. They have intermarried with the wicked seed line. After the tribulation period is when the angel of God casts Satan into the bottomless pit for a period of 1,000 years. This is the millennium, which is when Jesus rules with both his church and with the Jews. Anybody see a problem there? The two genetically opposed people who have been fighting a war to eliminate each other will be ruling together. This is one big, enormous lie. No Jews have ever or will ever be believers in the faith. They were called the fig tree that had no fruit. They are not his sheep. As a result of this, they were cut down and cast into the destroying fire. God will, for the second time, be king over his kingdom on earth. Now we go back to the statement of faith, the second coming. We believe Jesus Christ will return again to earth in great glory, so that all eyes shall see him. When Jesus comes again a second time in glory, he will slay the wicked and rescue the righteous who believe in him. Jesus' second coming will occur shortly after the seven-year tribulation period. When Jesus returns, he will return physically, bodily, in plain sight to the Mount of Olives to rule and reign from Mount Zion on the throne of David over the entire world for a literal 1,000 years. And notice he quotes Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7. I made a comment about this little statement. This dispensational church, and I tell you, I used to be a dispensationalist. I've got tons of books on all this stuff. This dispensational church believes that Jesus will return to the earth and set up his kingdom and rule for 1,000 years. The author of this statement of faith says that when he comes, he will destroy the wicked. The author does not indicate who that will be. The dispensationalists are confusing their story because the enemy of the Bible is the Jews, and they say that the Jews are one of the people of God. He says the Jews will rule on the throne of David over the entire world. Let's go back to the statement of faith. The thousand-year reign of Christ. During the millennial or thousand-year reign of Christ, the saints glorified in the rapture will rule and reign with Christ. Revelation 20, verse 6. The curse will be partially lifted, and men will live extended lives like they did before the flood. At the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, Satan will be loosed again for a short time to deceive the nations. Revelation 20, verse 3. Jesus Christ will then judge Satan, demons, and all men, both the living and the dead, at the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. After the great white throne judgment, the heavens and earth will be recreated, and the eternal state will ensue. Unquote. The pastor of this church wrote that the raptured church members will reign with Christ. He left out the Jews. He also indicated that men will once again live for as long as they did before Noah's flood. Almost 1,000 years. But does that mean that they will once again die? He places the time when Satan is loosed in the bottomless pit at the end of the millennium. He says this is the way in the future for now. But I have a couple questions. But hasn't Satan deceived the nations now? Hasn't the world gone after Jewish communism? We are a Jewish country, a communist country, you know. Anyway, we'll go back to a statement of faith, heaven and hell. all mankind will end up in one of two eternal destinies, heaven or the lake of fire. It is appointed for all men to die once and be judged. All unbelievers will appear before the great white throne to be judged according to their deeds. Those who have repented of their sins and placed their faith in Jesus Christ will enjoy perfect happiness in heaven forever and receive rewards in accordance with their faithful service on earth. Those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and will not submit to Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior will suffer conscious eternal torment away from the presence of Christ and his angels in the lake of fire. He does not mention the child that are killed in abortion, the child that die when they're 1 year old, who cannot make an acceptance of the Jesus Christ. I have a few comments. The pastor then indicates that all men have just two destinies. They must choose. That's Arminianism. Which one they want? If they repent of their sins, what sins are they? And place their faith in Jesus Christ, how does one do that? They will receive the destiny of eternal life. And if they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and will not submit to him as both Lord and Savior, they will receive the destiny of eternal damnation. The pastor also notes that those of any race who repent will enjoy perfect happiness in heaven, that was his words, not the earth. Well, who will live on the earth then? The wicked seed line has only one destiny, the lake of fire. They do not have the choice of which destiny they will participate in. Question. If the church members are in heaven forever, and the wicked seed line are in hell forever, then who is living on the earth? Well, a short history of Christendom and the Jews. Who would the church say, the dispensational church, is the eighth beast mentioned in Revelation 17:11? Let's read that verse. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is one of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Who is that? The eighth beast mentioned in Revelation 17:11 is Mystery Babylon. It has already happened. The eighth beast is already here. We are getting close to the end of this age. There were seven kingdoms that have come and gone. We are living in the eighth. It is called Mystery Babylon because Babylon is where it started. Many of the Edomite Judeans, when they were taken captive to Babylon, wrote their Pharisaical ideas down in their unholy books, one of which is even called the Babylonian Talmud. The followers of this book are called Mystery Babylon. Satan was loosed from the pit for what purpose? When he was freed from the prison, he would go out and deceive the goat nations. Has this already happened, or is this going to happen in the future? I believe it's already happened, and is the reason why all the nations are deceived and under the control of the globalist international Jew today. Now, my years in biblical prophecy. For most of my years, I ignored these scriptures in Revelation and most of the ones that dealt with prophecy. Why? To be honest with you, I didn't understand them enough to teach them. I read many different views, none of which satisfied my view on prophecy, I should say, completely. I didn't understand them for many decades. But I now believe that I have arrived at a level where I can teach this portion of Scripture. I don't know all the answers, but I know what is wrong, and I know enough of what is correct. So for the first time, I'm going to teach a little prophecy. First, there was a mistranslation of Revelation 20, verses 5 through 7. I will read the three verses as the way they appear in the King James. But the rest of the dead lived, not again, until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. This familiar passage of the resurrection has been quoted for years and used as a basis for many religious doctrines. However, this translation, given by the King James Version, is not found in the Bible's oldest Greek manuscript of the Book of Revelation, the Codex Symmachus. Nor is the translation found in the oldest Aramaic manuscript. Therefore, what is the King James Version of the Bible appears to be a later spurious addition to the Bible. Thus, when you verify the manuscripts, we find that this portion that says, the rest of the dead did not rise to life until the end of the 1,000 years, was not really a part of the original Bible. This would imply that someone inserted this part in later manuscripts with potentially ulterior motives. Anybody got an idea who that might be? This portion of scripture is found only in a minority of manuscripts, which were derived and preserved from a commentary on the Revelation made by a medieval monk named Andreas or Andrew of Caesarea. But this represented only a minor portion of majority texts of the Revelation, and the words are not in any of the much earlier manuscripts of the Revelation which we now possess. The early 7th century Roman Empire saw plague, civil war, famine, and catastrophic barbarian invasions. Ecclesiastical favor ran high as people were convinced that the end of the world was near. In this climate, a Greek commentary on the Apocalypse was composed by Andreas, Archbishop of Caesarea, Cappadocia. And I go on and talk, well, I'll go ahead and read it. In 611, Andreas of Caesarea concluded that the end was not near, despite the crisis that the empire was facing, striking a balance between the symbolic language of the book and its literal prophetic fulfillment. Andreas' interpretation shows a love for the God of humanity. And it goes on. And you can read it. I've got it printed here in the New Covenant Messenger. If you want to read about that, I copied a couple paragraphs from the book Andrew of Caesarea, Commentary on the Apocalypse. Go to Dispensationalist Millennial, Randa. Go down. There it is, right there. But if you don't believe what was just said, or if you don't understand it, it doesn't make much difference. For there are major reasons for the rejection of the first sentence of verse 5 of the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Why? Because it stands in contradiction with the rest of the Bible. The millennium say the dispensationalist is like a Sabbath. It's a day of rest for the earth. At the end of the millennium, God's design for time will be fulfilled, and we will enter eternity. But would it be a rest? Revelation 25, I'll read it again. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Let's examine this verse. Does this match or contradict the rest of the scripture? First, is this really the first resurrection? The dispensationalists say that this occurs after the 1,000 years were finished. But according to the dispensationalists' other teachings, this should be at least the third resurrection and not the first. The first resurrection, according to this Bible end time theory, was when the church was raptured. Both the living and the dead were gathered up to go to heaven. The dead had to be resurrected. The second resurrection occurred when the Jews were rescued from their tribulation at the end of Daniel's 70th week. The dead Jews who were living in the Old Testament and the ones that were murdered in the tribulation period had to be resurrected. This is the second resurrection. The third resurrection occurred at the end of the 1,000-year reign. But there is a very important question if this is true. Who would the Christians and Jews be ruling over? For if all the people except the church members and Jews who were converted would not come to life and remain dead until the 1,000-year rule ends, then who were the Christian church members and the Jews ruling over? Themselves? And it would not be all of them inclusively either, for many believers in the New Testament are not in the church. There are many unbelievers who are in the church. Some are atheists, some are agnostics. Many in the Old Testament are said not to be in the kingdom, the vast majority of Jews, according to dispensationalists, in both Testaments would not be in the kingdom because of their lack of faith. Plus, there'd be no Islam, Muslims, no Hindus, no schism, no spiritualists, no Mormons, no Taoists, no Buddhists, no paganism, no Baha'i, no Jehovah Witnesses, no Universalist Unitarian, no Wicca witchcraft, no Jainism, and so forth. In fact, it'd be very few of the world's population that would survive and be in the 1,000-year reign. So who, according to dispensationalists, will be in the millennium? Only two. Members of the Christian church, and there are many contradictory churches, and two, some Jews who were saved in the Old Testament and in the Great Tribulation. But according to CI, Christian Identity, that would be a rule by two opposing forces of the entire Bible. Pure blood Israelites and mixed seed Canaanites, Edomites, or Jews. Two groups who have a hatred placed on them toward each other by Almighty God since the garden. That'd be a very interesting time if it were true, wouldn't it? If one group sings praises unto him and the other group says that he is now in hell suffering in a boiling pot, because they say he was not divine at all. But that isn't all. The dispensationalists have deceived the church members into believing that they're going to marry Jesus Christ after their rapture, when they, the Jews, believe that he is now in hell. Question: how is he going to marry the church members during the tribulation period if he's in hell? Is Jesus going to be let out of the boiling pot in hell to go and marry the church? And then the Jews are going to marry his father? They are liars and deceivers. None of them have ever been converted, and none of them ever will. How could the people who had God as their king and the Antichrist who denied the Savior was God rule together in his kingdom in the future? The people who have God as their father and the people who have the devil as their father, what a mismatch that would be. No peace would happen in that false millennium. It was supposed to be a time of rest. They don't explain how the two different peoples with two different fathers would rule together. They are arch enemies of each other. They are enemies that are intent of killing each other. They have different laws given to them by different gods. It is a Jesuit masterpiece. The Protestant Reformation is dead. Even some Christian identity preachers are confused by Revelation 20. In a CI newsletter recently, it omitted the rapture of the church and the tribulation period, but kept the millennium. It says that the 1,000 years will be in the future. The newsletter said, I quote, "A period of 1,000 years is found between the time of Christ's return and the final judgment. The time is known as the kingdom age, followed by the new heaven, the new earth, as Revelation 21:1 states." My comment. Christ's return happens first in the 1,000-year reign, then the final judgment. It says in the next two paragraphs, who will be in the kingdom? Listen close. He says, there will be open borders between member nations of the kingdom. There'd be one law for all the kingdom nations, and it would be unlawful to oppress an Adamic non-Israelite. It would be not long before America would be enjoying peace and prosperity unprecedented in all of history. We would then be a light to the nations, an example to the world, and a testimony to all that faith in our King and obedience to His word is the solution to all their problems. It would also not be long before other nations would elect Christ to be their King as well, just like El Salvador is doing right now. El Salvador? The president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, who says he is not a deeply religious man, has paternal grandparents who were Christian Palestinians from Jerusalem and Bethlehem. His maternal grandparents were also Christian. She's a Catholic, and he a Greek Orthodox. His father later converted to Islam and became an imam. And his wife has Jewish Sephardic blood. And he, like all our recent presidents, prayed at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem in February 2018. Would Christian identity members call this leader a true Christian? And here's a picture of him at the Wailing Wall. Thus, the first sentence in Revelation 20, verse 5, poses significant problems to scriptural harmony, not only by contradicting a lot of verses, but also by essentially nullifying the all-purpose of the kingdom of Christ that has come on the earth. God was king over the kingdom of Israel. His subjects were Israelites. The future kingdom of Israel will be Israelites too. Not Israelites and the enemy, Edomites, or anyone else. So the question now is, which translation is correct? But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Or is it simply, this is the first restoration? As nouns, the difference between resurrection and restoration is that resurrection is the act of arising from the dead and becoming alive again, while restoration is the process of bringing an object back to its original state, the process of restoring something. The first restoration. For 1,000 years, the kingdom of God in the past was without the influence of the dragon, the serpent of old. The Jews did not influence the kingdom of God. This was the first restoration. But who was that dragon, the serpent of old? Who is that? Who is the adversary that shall be released from the bottomless pit and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth? Could it be the rebellious angel who gathered his genetic people to deceive all the nations? Who are his people? Who is he the father of? The people are the Kenite, Canaanite, Edomite Jews, whose father our Savior said was the devil. The Edomites or Idumeans infiltrated Judea during the first century B.C. and soon controlled the region. They were defeated in the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 A.D. and became migrants to the rest of the world. When Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire in the 5th century, the Jews were kept separate from the Christians by the laws passed against the Jews. For example, it became illegal for Jews to hold public office or to hold a military position or to hold any Christian slaves or to loan money to Christians at usury or to teach Israelites or to run banking or be a part of a society. Sounds like America. They were simply kept out of the white Christian society, and as a result, it flourished. It was restored. But when the Jews were allowed into white Christian society, they destroyed it with their Jewish values, which are different from Christian values. Jews had been kicked out of the European countries over 359 times in recorded history for their evilness and degradation. Look at America today and all the white Israel nations. Jews own and run it all now. And everyone has become defiled and satanic except the true remnant. Read what the Jews say in their own website, United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. The article, Christian Persecution of Jews Over the Centuries, by this Jew, the professor emeritus of religion, Temple University. Here's what he says. This is from the Jews. In the years 500 to 1500, that's 1,000 years. The Jews, as a religious and culture minority, were often preyed upon by the Christian majority in a familiar sociological pattern. The papal record is consistently mixed. Harsh infringements of Jewish rights are censored at the same time that restrictions are imposed on their full participation in society. The vocabulary of guilt for Jesus' crucifixion and charges of stubbornness and blindness recur, unquote. Because of these restrictions made by the Roman Empire against the Jews, many antichrists were proceeded to leave the Roman Empire and migrate to Europe, Canzanera, Arabia, and elsewhere. In medieval Europe, the Jews were forced to live in separate communities called ghettos. In these communities, they could make and keep their own laws. They existed as chattel property of the nobles for the profit of the nobles. And this is what the Jews were forced to do for 1,000 years. For their god, the devil, was locked in the bottomless pit. And when he was loose from the bottomless pit after the 1,000 years was over, what was he going to do? He would do something that was missing from history. He would deceive the goat nations into destroying the white race. But he would do this first from within the white nations, not from without the white nations. It all began with the Jewish Demetrius Popes ruling when Martin Luther complained about the indulgences and the acceptance of usury by Christendom. It greatly increased when Napoleon Bonaparte, at the time of the French Revolution, gave the Jews emancipation. not the blacks were set free, the Jews were set free. This occurred right after, a little over 10 years, the United States became functioning under its Constitution. What happened? For 1,000 years, the Jews were kept apart from Christians. Then the Jews became the bankers to the nations of Israel. Soon all the nations of the world became deceived and under the control of the international Jewish power. Once the Jews received their emancipation, they were free to go out and deceive the nations with the cries for liberty, equality, and fraternity, which have all the world's goat nations threatening the very existence of the white Christian race. Already, all the white Christian nations have been and are currently overrun, looted, and pillaged by aliens without a military. Isn't that true? In many white nations today, genocide is being disguised merely as criminal behavior and hidden behind statistics where reports everywhere are distorted by Jewish-controlled media outlets. How many are killed by, is it fentanyl? How many are killed by fentanyl? Christendom is overrun by the aliens and the Israelites are becoming less and less. My conclusion. There is a Sunday school booklet, Explore the Bible, Adults. August 20th, year 2000. Written by Jim Toulmin, who earned a Bachelor of Divinity degree and a Master's of Theology degree from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And get this, a clinical pastor education degree from Bethesda Hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. He also pastored 3 churches for 25 years in 3 different states. In this Sunday school booklet, he says on pages 100 and 101 that, quote, dispensational premillennialism teaches that the 1,000 years is a little period of time that occurs after the tribulation. During this time, Jesus Christ will rule on the earth with his people. But he will especially rule the world through the Jews. Unquote. Pastor for 25 years. I had a few comments. Since when are the Jews his people? Does he mean the Ashkenazi, Sephardic, Hasidic, Mezra, Ethiopian, conservative, liberal, orthodox, etc., Jews are his people? That is the group that Mr. Toulmin says the Lord will rule the world with. The booklet also says on pages 98 and 99 that, quote, following the destruction of the beast and false prophet, John saw an angel come from heaven who binds Satan with a chain and throws him in the abyss where he remains for 1,000 years. Martyrs who refuse to worship the beast or his image are resurrected to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. They are priests of God and of Christ for 1,000 years. Their resurrection is called the first resurrection, and those share in it are blessed and holy. After the 1,000 years are completed, Satan is released from his confinement in the abyss. He deceives the nations and gathers them to war against God's people. The nations surround God's people, but fire from heaven devours them. Then the devil is thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he, the beast, and the false prophet are tormented forever. Unquote. Who's the devil going to deceive? Who is the fire from heaven going to destroy? He says the first resurrection occurs after the tribulation period. May the Lord God have mercy on our souls. The book did have one true statement on page 100. It says, chapter 20 of the book of Revelation is one of the most disputed chapters in the Bible. Pastor Jennings, in his book, The Book of Revelation from an Israelite in Historicist Interpretation, gave the historical position over 20 years ago. He says on page 65 of his book, a statement that very few Christians today have ever heard or even thought about. Quote, "The establishment of the church by the person and work of Jesus Christ and continued by his apostles was within the confines of the racial stock of Israel. Therefore, the institution of the church is an Israelite institution under the terms of the new covenant, which was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. During the events that are seen in the Revelation letter, while God is dealing with national Israel, the church is present on the earth because these are the remnant saints within Israel during any given period of time in the history of the church." Unquote. The Christian church is not multiracial. It is strictly an Israelite church, which contains the remnant saints. Most Bible students identify in Revelation 17 the five kings that were fallen as the five world empires of number one, Egypt, followed by number two, Assyria, number three, Babylonia, number four, Media, Persia, and Greece. And many identify the one that is as world empire number six, Imperial Rome. And fewer identify the other, the one that is yet to come, as world empire number seven, pagan Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. And now we are living under the eighth beast. The wicked seed line first attacked Christianity from without with violence. Then their God was cast in the pit for 1,000 years. And then he was loosed and he went to see the goat nations to attack the Israelite nations. Now they are destroying the Israelite nations from within and placing their laws in place of God's. We are coming to the climax. The next world empire, number eight, is Mystery Babylon, the globalist international Jew whose God is the God of apostate Christianity, Islam, and Zionistic Judaism, and all the other non-true Christian belief systems. There are several Christian identity preachers like Howard Rand, Bertrand Cambray, William Fink, and Charles Jennings who state that the book of Revelation is historic. But has Revelation 20 already occurred and Satan been cast into the bottomless pit? Has he been released and is he now, along with his generic sons and daughters, deceiving the goat nations to eliminate true Israel from the earth? Under the guise of egalitarianism, sorcery, fornication, race mixing, deviancy, godliness, and multiculturalism? Only a few agree. Revelation 20 is the most disputed chapter in the Bible. There are a lot of different views. I'll give you three. There's a huge difference between Daniel's 70th week being completed at Stephen's murder, or it's still waiting fulfillment with a gap of being almost 2,000 years. Number two, there's a huge difference between Israel ruling with God and the Jew cast into the bottomless pit, or the Jew, Israel's lifetime enemy, and biblical Israel ruling together for 1,000 years in the future. Number three, there's a huge difference if the devil's already been locked up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Or is that not into the future? To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.